Hi, I am Takuma Sato. You're listening to F1 Weekly.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go. Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. Steve Faulb is still in arbitration. This is podcast number 587, July 6th. 2012. Nasser?
Thank you, sir. This edition of F1 Weekly Podcast is brought to you by Jaipur Indian Restaurant in Milton Keynes, a favorite of ye.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, everyone is pulling for Maria de Villota. F1 Weekly sends out our condolences to the Swig family. Martin was a great car guy in the San Francisco Bay Area and beyond. Vettel retracts safety car was crap comments, and Frank Williams on Pastor Maldonado says, we don't do IQ tests. Nasser, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Very good, sir. Thank you, and very sad to hear what happened with Maria Di Viotto, and Marcus Grönholm was also injured. So, like they say, you know, motorsports is dangerous.
Absolutely, and the biggest problem for me is the bizarreness of Maria's injuries, coming back after doing the straight line tests, hitting one of the trucks and its rear hatch or whatever they call it. So I'm looking forward to hearing of what really happened, and I'm very, very sorry about her injuries, and certainly I hope she gets out of this as soon as possible.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody's wishing her well, and you know, she has lost her right eye in this, and then apparently her helmet took the brunt of the impact, and you know, they're saying this lid should not have been like that, but you know, if it was not like that, the car would have gone underneath the truck. So you know, when things happen, they happen. No. But it's very bizarre, you know, apparently there was some software glitch, anti-stall, something happened there where she would basically had slowed down, was moving towards the crew, and they were moving towards the car, and then all of a sudden it was kind of like the Audi situation, you know, Audi 5000 many years ago, the sudden acceleration type of stuff.
Exactly.
Something very unfortunate happened, and I hope, you know, she gets well soon.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anyway, we're preparing for Silverstone. Lots of things happening. This is a huge race for motorsports because, really, most of these F1 teams are based in England. This is a home race for everyone. We've got Jenson Button, Lewis Hamilton, and Paul Di Resta.
No, he's not. He is Dario Franchitti's cousin.
My apologies to Dario. But still, this is a huge race for those three gentlemen. Huge race for Formula One. Huge race for the Brits. Great venue. And the best part is, it looks like it's going to rain a little bit.
Apparently both on Saturday and Sunday.
That's what my Google Earth tells me. So this could be one hellacious Formula One race.
Yeah, the old Rainmeister, Mr. Michael Schumacher, is saying that he would prefer a rain race. And we all know how good Lewis is, and we all know how good Sebastian Vettel is. Nando is very good, too. And so we'll see. I just hope Felipe Massa does not have five spins if it's raining on Sunday.
Well,
that will really do it for him. Let me tell you that.
I understand. I understand. No, there's a few variables that we have to watch, including Pastor Maldonado, what he's going to do on the last lap, what he's going to do in qualifying. Sebastian Vettel, will the alternateur be repaired? And apparently, it is part of the Renault package, not a outside vendor like Bagnani Morelli. I was incorrect, and I apologize to all my people in Italia.
So I think he's going to bring one from his home boys, Bosch Electronics. Actin Gesellschaft.
Quel malheur, quel malheur. Qu'est-ce qui va passer ce soir? But no, it's going to be a fantastic race. I'm really looking forward to this. And with the rain, qualifying could be a disaster for everyone. The tires will be meaningless, which is really an exciting part. And once again, we're still looking for the ever-eluding win from Lotus F1. Kimi and Grosjean.
It may happen. It'll be a very interesting place for it to happen. But I think that people to look out, if it's raining, would be Luham and Bastian.
Absolutely. And maybe Schumacher, if everything goes well with their setup on the car.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, Mr. Jenson Button, this is one great chance for him to get his season back on track. And I hope, you know, he is in the hunt for the top five positions in qualifying and in race also.
Absolutely. I mean, he's been super positive in the warm-ups to the Grand Prix. Some of the interviews I've seen, obviously the British press is all over this about Button not being in the game, so to speak. So he really needs to turn his season around. This is the perfect venue to try to make something happen. Lewis Hamilton could be unstoppable, but then we saw how fast the Red Bull was in Valencia with that outstanding qualifying lap from Sebastian Vettel. I mean, do they have those 0.3 in their pocket for sure above everyone else? That's the big question.
Well, my question is, if it's like a complete rain race, will we still have the Pirelli lottery situation, or will the order be restored then?
Not only that, but we really don't know that much about the Pirelli intermediates and full wets. This could be our first full wet race of the season, where we're going to separate the scuba divers from the little lily pods guys.
Pearl fishers.
Yes. No, this is going to be a great race. And I'm hoping. But, you know, I could sit here and hope for rain. Rain is planned. And in Britain, that means nothing. It could be a sunny day on Sunday. You never know what's going on. But for me, Williams, huge test for Williams. Can Pastor Maldonado, let me put it this way. Can he mature from his last mistake? And, you know, a lot of people, including in the British press, have said that Lewis Hamilton should have let him go by easily, should not have fought for position, and really put the blame on him in the Maldonado-Hamilton incident at the end of Valencia.
Well, you know, I also thought this way, and I'm also agreeing on this, but the thing is, if you look at the replay, Pastor Maldo did not collide with him while they were trying to go into a corner. He had gone off track, and upon re-entry, he collided with him. So he really needs to cool down. The team needs to tell him, hey, dude, 3 laps to go, you stay in the position you're in. Otherwise, he's going to throw away a lot of points.
I agree. But on the other hand, Williams, after coming off a dismal, literally dismal season last year, even with Maldonado's mistakes, look fantastic this year. And on top of that, a lot of people are saying, no risk, no machismo-ness.
Yeah.
So, and Bruno Senna, you know, maybe he should be taking more risks and getting knocked by the press for his mistakes. Even though Pastor obviously lost some points, there is some testicular fortitude that comes with his attacks.
Well, you know, his victory, no matter how many mistakes he makes, his victory has really established himself that this guy can win races. He's like the Paul Tracy syndrome when he first came to Penske. The guy was quick but crashing all the time. And I remember Penske saying that I would rather hold a guy back than push him. So he really needs to, you know, be a little bit cooler. He needs to do what, you know, people have always said about Lewis Hamilton, cool down. You know, you're not going to win the race on lap 5 of 55. But, you know, when you're coming into the closing stages of a race, these points are very important, and the money they bring, especially for a team like Williams, you just cannot afford to lose them.
I agree. Let's talk about the Pastor Maldonado camp. Pastor says he's not planning to change his approach to racing despite the penalties he's been handed this year. He says, quote, "For sure, I will drive in the same way, and so we need to push. The gaps are very close, and I think the drivers are making the difference at the moment. I think I have been quite unlucky the past couple of races, especially in Monaco and Montreal, because I got penalized because of the gearbox and I crashed in qualifying, but the pace was always there. I think in the last race, it's difficult to value because Lewis was losing by 3 seconds per lap. I saw the chance to get on the podium when I had a very difficult race, especially at the beginning when I was P10, and then I had a good race and I was looking forward to getting on the podium. 1.5 laps from the end, I saw the chance to take the position against Lewis, and he tried to defend. I tried to attack, and it was a normal racing contact, I think."
What are you now, a court reporter?
He is. That's my new job. But I love these quotes. They're hilarious. But what I like about it is Pastor staying pretty positive, not ranting against McLaren. And I, to be honest with you, I think we're going to see a good race from Pastor in Silverstone.
No, you know, he's going to win races if he's in a race-winning car.
Yeah, because I know he's made some mistakes, but I like his attitude and his attacks. And I think that really...
Off-track attacks, right? Or on-track?
Any attacks, because I think really, don't forget, this is an entertainment sport. And people want to see the machismo rise up to the top. Even though often it could be against him and a bad decision on his part, but still the excitement is there. People are losing points. He's losing points. I love it.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you my experience with him. A couple of years ago, I think it was 2010, when I went to the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, you know, a place is so hot. If you're not inside a garage or inside a grandstand, you don't want to be milling around. Anyway, I got to the track, and the GP2 race had already was coming to an end, and he had dropped out. So I'm walking by these, they have a separate paddock for GP2, and there he was sitting all by himself. So I walked up to him, and he had his helmet, and was sweating like he won't believe. So I had a brief chat with him. The guy was like very, very intense, very intense.
Yeah. No, and that's what I get from him as well. Super intense, a lot of energy, and I... As long as Williams gives him a pretty good car with a good setup, we're definitely going to see Pastor on the podium once again. Now, for me, we're both dying to see either Romain Grosjean or Kimi Raikkonen win a race this season. We've got a lot of races to go. They seem to have the pace. Grosjean seems to be managing the tires well. What are your thoughts on Lotus F1 here in England this weekend?
I think they will do very well. I really do. And, you know, they just need a little bit of luck and a little bit of a faster pit stop to get Kimi a win. And I think I will not be surprised if Romain Grosjean wins a race before Raikkonen. And talking of Romain Grosjean, he just married his beautiful French TF1 reporter Marion Joel. So congratulations.
Very attractive. Very
pretty.
For me, I think he's a pretty goofy-looking guy.
No, I've met him a few times. He's a very nice kid.
He's a nice kid?
Very nice.
I think that's lovely.
Yeah, but that was before he got to Formula One.
Yeah.
So, you know, Formula One, you get there and your attitude, well, you know, it's a different
Exactly. thing. But anyway, quickly about the safety car, you know, Vettel got slammed for saying that it was a
phantom.
Phantom debris, caution. He was thinking about NASCAR and thinking this was just ridiculous. But he's retracted his statement saying that I never said it was deliberate. I said from my point of view it was not necessary, but I'm not making the decisions. The race direction is making the decision. They decide when it comes out. If they consider it to be necessary, we accept it. Blah, blah, blah. A lot of political correctness crap. Really, I'm not interested in that stuff.
Yeah, same here. You know, do you remember some years ago when there was quite a few stuff of caution, phantom caution in NASCAR, and then the TV network, whoever it was, they would say, well, we don't see any. And then, of course, the sanctioning body got upset that, hey, we're giving you the TV rights. You can't be saying things like that. So I don't like this nonsense of, you know, toe the party line.
I agree.
Remember when some years ago... Martin Brundle had made some comment, and then FIA threatened to cancel his media credentials. And I don't like that kind of stuff.
Wasn't that in Canada?
Yeah.
It was pretty funny stuff, though.
When he used the word pikey.
Exactly, Nasser. Keep up the good work for your historical accuracy.
Well, you know, I'm a pikey, so pikey is very...
Yeah, it's nothing.
Rhyming.
I like that. I like that. So anyway, there you have it. But still, we're expecting good stuff from Mercedes, Force India. Paul DiResta in front of his people. Nico Hülkenberg not in front of his people. They looked really good in Valencia, both finishing in the top 10, bringing in some good points. Valencia was Nico Hülkenberg's best finish of the season. You know this guy is machismo in German.
This guy is what Romain Grosjean is. Has won in every series he has gone in. Won GP2 in his first attempt. Won Formula BMW in first attempt. And the good thing about Force India team right now, they have two very, very good drivers. And they both can be cash cows for Vijay Mallya's team if a big team wants them.
Absolutely, and they're based at Silverstone, the former Jordan facility. So yeah. There's definitely a home race for them.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, the land where they are based is still owned by Eddie Jordan, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, well, he's a pretty clever guy.
Oh, very
sharp. And he loves pulling in a good cash rental price on some of these facilities. So good for Eddie, but still, I'm also watching Jean-Éric Vergne and Ricardo. These guys really have been disappointing all season. We're almost mid-season. I mean, you and myself expected greater performances, especially from Jean-Éric Vergne.
Yeah, I did, sure. But, you know, when you look back, people take 2-3 years to perform in GP2. Good drivers. So I think we need to give the... But they cannot afford to go 3 years like Jaime and Buemi, that, you know, I have a, you know, I'm at home with Dr. Helmut Marko, and nothing will happen. They really need to, one of them need to overhaul the other, maul the other to be given a chance for a second or third
I agree. Heikki Kovalainen did a great job in Valencia. He'll be pretty well pumped up. Caterham F1, this isn't their home race, but it sort of is. I mean, Caterham, it's so British. What do you think?
Well, you know, it's...
It's tough.
You know, it's I'll tell you what. Again, I don't know anything about the technical stuff of anything, let alone Formula One. But, you know, there's always this hoopla about when Sam Michael was at Williams, and at one time when Patrick had stepped out, he was made the head of technical, you know, whatever, director. And they never had anything going when Sam Michael... I'm not saying Sam Michael doesn't know what he's doing, but he was the in charge. When the ship goes down, captain gets the blame. You know what I'm saying? And now he's gone. Mike Coughlan is there, and they're doing very good. And it's the same thing with Mike Gascoigne. You know, you hear nothing but hoopla, great guy. He's a bulldog, he's this. You know, he's flying from England to Germany when he was working for... but where are the results? This business is all about results.
Especially with the Renault package.
Yeah.
I would thought they'd definitely be beating Toro Rosso weekend after weekend.
And for them to let go of Jarno Trulli and take a pay driver, you know, Petrov will be a pay driver till he wins a race. I mean, that just showed that this team is really not as strong as... It should be based on all the hoopla around its technical director.
Yeah, especially, and I know with the Renault package, they get a lot of technical input from Renault because Renault is, you know, they do help the teams that they support, like Williams and Red Bull and everybody else, and there's a lot of expertise shared, and they really haven't done anything with it.
Yeah, but it might hurt your feeling. Other engine manufacturers do the same thing, too.
That is not possible, Nasser. There's no way. Sacré bleu. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We've got an outstanding Motorsports Mondial. I would say almost a full burrito.
Oh, this is a full burrito, absolutely.
Oh, there you have it. Oh, there you have it. So anyway, we'll be back after this brief message from Honest Engines.
Honesty is something we all look for, especially when it comes to auto service. Honest Engines Auto Service Tallahassee is where you'll find it. Since 2005, they've been delivering trusted, dependable service to Florida's capital. Honest Engines is your full-service auto repair center. Bumper to bumper, they have you covered. Honest Engines Auto Repair offers a variety of services. Transmission repair, oil change service, and much, much more. Don't let just anyone work on your car. Bring it to Honest Engines. They'll give your baby the care it deserves. They work closely with you to make sure you know what's being done. With Honest Engines, you don't have to guess what their team is doing. Their highly experienced and certified technicians know just what your car needs, and they'll make sure you do too. So if you're in the Tallahassee area and you need auto repairs, give Honest Engines a call, 850-421-8461, and tell them F1Weekly.com sent you. Honest Engines Auto Repair, right on the corner, right on the price, 718 Gay Street, Tallahassee.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the guru, Nasser Hamid.
So, Clay Regazzoni almost home to win the first race ever for the Saudi Williams team, and Frank Williams will be beside himself with joy. Into Woodcote for the last time. And Clay Regazzoni goes across the line, and he has won the British Grand Prix.
They say first cut is the deepest, and that first Grand Prix win for Team Willy at Silverstone in 1979, the winner being interviewed, Signor Clay Regazzoni. Greetings and racing regards. Casey Stoner wins MotoGP in Assen. Jules Bianchi takes his first win in World Series by Renault. Total domination by Stoffel Van Dorn in Formula Renault NEC Championship. And amazing but true, we have an F3 race in the streets of Nuremberg, but no winner. And we shall explain as we open the Mondial files. Exactly. Remember, Forrest Sawyer used to do a program called Justice Files?
One of my favorite programs.
He used to say that, as we open the Justice Files.
I think we'll start doing that from now on.
Yeah, thank you, sir. MotoGP, just when it looked like Jorge Lorenzo was going to build on his lead in the championship, fellow Spaniard Alvaro Bautista intervened and took Lorenzo out on the first turn of the opening lap of the Dutch Grand Prix at Assen. Not good. Casey Stoner took full advantage, taking his third win of the season, and now jointly leads the championship with Lorenzo. Another Honda rider, you know, they say you meet the nicest people on Honda.
I heard that. They're usually women over here in California.
You sure?
Well, what can I tell you?
Maybe you met somebody on a Honda rider. Honda. Anyway, Danny Pedrosa, he's also a Honda rider, was second, and Italian Andre Dovizioso took final step off the podium from Texan rider Ben Spies, and both these youths are on Yamaha. DTM from Nürburgring, a street circuit in Nuremberg, Martin Tomczyk, great race. Martin Tomczyk was on his way to victory on the final lap in his BMW, and you know, this is their first year in their comeback. When Jamie Green surprised him on the final corner and took victory, Bruno Spengler was third in the second BMW. Pole sitter Gary Paffett was fourth in his Mercedes, and DC completed the top five. His friend Ralf Schumacher retired on lap 45 of 78.
It happens.
It happens.
But we love Ralf.
Yes, Ralf was very nice to me.
Yes,
so
exactly.
No more half Schumacher.
I understand.
Yes. And F3 Euro Series were also in action at the same location, along with boys from British F3. In first of three races of the weekend, Spaniard Daniel Junqueira won the race from Will Buehler and Emil Bernstorff. After the race, Junqueira was excluded from the race for two on-track incidents with Pascal Wehrlein and Rafael Marcello. Surprisingly, drivers behind him were not allowed to reap the benefits of his disqualification. So we have a race with second and third place finishers, but no race winner. And Will Buller's team is Carlin, and they are thinking of making a protest that he should be awarded the win. So we'll see. And, you know, talking of Daniel Junqueira, he's a pretty good driver. He won the Macau Grand Prix last year. And I know the guy who is his, like, sort of a manager, you know, physical trainer, whatever, Nuno de Souza. He's from Portugal, and I've known him for a few years. So last time I met him at the British F3 in April, and Daniel was not there. So I said, hey, can you arrange a Skype interview with Daniel, he said, man, talk to my other drivers. They said, this guy is lazy. He won't get on computer or anything. But the guy is lazy maybe in computer stuff. Otherwise, he's a pretty good driver. Okay. This thing that second, third, but no winner, to me, is like a podium caution.
It is a podium caution.
Yeah. Brazilian Pietro Fantin was fourth overall and was winner of the British F3 class.
But you know what? Going to one of these DTM Formula 3 Euro Series races is on my bucket list. I think these are great races. It's got to be outstanding to attend.
A lot of people, big attendance.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. It's just outstanding. It's fun. It's excellent. The venues are wonderful, and the people are wonderful.
Yes, they are. And I do like the idea of combining the British F3 and F2 because, you know, both have low counts, so it's just good. Our friend Harry Tinknell won the second race of the weekend, and Senor Felix Cerales from Puerto Rico was second. Final race of the weekend was red flag after half distance due to heavy rain, and Rafael Marcello was declared the winner ahead of Yunkadea and Cerales, who was first of British F3 racers. Now, let me tell you about this kid. Felix Cerales from Puerto Rico. He does not have a. He did not race a lot in motor racing in America or Puerto Rico. And last year, I believe, was his first full year in Formula Renault. And he did okay. Nothing spectacular, not bad. And when he jumped to F3, I said, you know, should have maybe spent more time in Formula Renault. But this kid is now doing, young kid, very nice kid. He's doing in F3 what this guy, hombre from Mexico, Sergio Perez, is doing in F1. Really, really surprising and performing much better than expected. So good for him. And Marcello, we were talking about him before the show. He is, he was basically Italian-speaking Swiss, but he has, since he's doing well, he has become Italian, just like Romain Grosjean was French-speaking Swiss. But whatever it takes, you know. He is currently in the Ferrari Driver Development Program. And a few weeks ago, I contacted him on Facebook for an interview, and he politely requested I contact Ferrari PR people. So even at 16 years old, they are being told, you know, this is the way you need to operate. So, next time I'm ordering DiGiorno pizza, I will also call Modena so we can have some garlic bread and chat about, you know, motor racing.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, but this kid, I think, has a very good future. From Nürburgring, we go to the Nürburgring. Jules Bianchi won his first race of the series from pole position. Swiss driver Nico Müller was second, and Dutchman Robin Vriens was third. In the second race, run in wet-dry conditions, Nick Jaloly became the first double winner of the season. Marco Sørensen from Denmark was second. Sam Bird and Robin Vriens were fourth and fifth, respectively, and now jointly lead the championship with 86 points. Alexander Rossi is ninth with 27 points. And Vriens will get to demonstrate a Red Bull F1 car in Moscow as prize for being championship leader halfway through the season. And this will be at the Moscow Raceway where the World Series by Renault will be racing next weekend. Interestingly, you know, since both are tied and looks like I think Sam Bird is, based on second or third, is ahead of Vriens. But then I read that you get to drive a Formula One car if you're leading the at halfway stage and are not contracted to another team or engine manufacturer. So Sam Bird has made his peace with Mercedes, and I think he is a very good driver, but he won't get to drive a Red Bull in Moscow. What a tragedy.
Yep. Mercedes will refuse him to get into the Renault package.
Yeah.
But see, I'm surprised because, you know, if Mercedes was clever.
No, Renault is the one who won't do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Am I
you
biased
French,
or something?
You French are always blaming the Germans.
Sacré bleu.
Okay, so, now, Formula Renault NEC Series, they were also in action at the Shorten and Modern Green Hill. Belgian driver for Josef Kaufmann Racing won both races. That's Stoffel Vandoorne. Both races from pole position and also set the fastest lap in both races. He is now leading the championship from Red Bull driver Daniel Kvyat, who is from Ufa in Russia. And talking of Belgium, have you heard from Jerome D'Ambrosio lately? What he's doing in
racing? No, he quit the bowling league, the F1 Weekly Bowling League, and hasn't called me.
Yeah, but he's doing commentary for GP2 races with the guy who does the F1 commentary, the pit lane walk. What's his name?
For which?
Speed TV.
Oh, Buxton.
Will Buxton.
Yeah.
Yeah, Will Buxton.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we go to Superstars series. This is the Italian version of DTM with big V8-powered machines, Jaguars and Audis and Mercedes.
This is a good series. I like this series.
Yeah, it is good. It's very good, powerful cars. They were racing at the Hungaroring and saw an uprising from two Red Bull and F1 rejects. Now, you have to be in an elite company when you are not only an F1 reject, but also a Red Bull reject. Drum roll, please.
Sacré bleu.
With Antonio Liuzzi won the opening race in his Mercedes, and second race saw debut win for Christian Klien in his Maserati, which was previously driven by Johnny Herbert and Mika Salo.
What a great group.
Confirming, misery loves company.
Yeah. No, I bet you the after race party has got to be hilarious. All the, if I just did this, I could have been that. I could have been a contender.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing about Mika Salo. He grew up on the same street
as
Mika Hakkinen. And then, their paths would collide in British F3. Amazing how things go. Remember when he drove the Ferrari for Michael Schumacher?
Of course.
It was German Grand Prix, right? When he took the lead, he was leading the race.
It was so exciting.
Yeah.
And that blonde Dutch haircut, you got to love it.
Yeah. Then he was told, Eddie Irvine is faster than you. That's where it all started. That's pretty sad. Yeah, racing can be pretty brutal. You know, I mean, if you look at it, I was at the 2004 Imola San Marino Grand Prix. And the support race was Formula 3000, which is now GP2. And Liuzzi had won that race, and it was like he was on the same program as Michael Schumacher that year. He won the first six or seven races. And then he was karting world champion. The guy has very good credential, and it's just, Red Bull gave him a few races to Christian Klien. And then, they say little loving can be very dangerous. And that's what happened to these two kids. It's pretty sad.
Well, it could be worse. He's still not co-host of the F1 Weekly podcast.
Yeah, and there are some ex-F1 Red Bull drivers who are now working on, like last I heard, on constructing stage for rock and roll bands.
Yeah.
I mean, life can be pretty brutal, especially if you're trying to be a Formula One driver. Okay, talking of tin tops, more from the world of winners. Both Nick Heidfeld and Marco Andretti will race at Surfers Paradise in the Australian V8 Series race in October. So that should be fun.
Nick Heidfeld and Marco Andretti.
Whew. Jacques Villeneuve will also do some.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Isn't Mac Pappas going down too?
Yeah. But Jacques Villeneuve, man, taking out Danica Patrick at that race.
Beautiful.
And the excuse he came up with.
It was classic.
It was classic pathetic, let me tell you that. Okay, Grand Am at Watkins Glens. Oh, this is very important now, because we do our research here, because we want to bring, fresh stuff on the table for our listeners. Salins, 6 hours of the Glen. Corvette DP was the winner, driven by Darren Law from Dry Heat, Phoenix, Arizona, and Joan Barbosa from Portugal. Second was John Fogarty, originally from Palo Alto, California, not too far from here, now residing in Bend, Oregon. And Alex Gurney from Newport Beach, Southern California, was his teammate in the Gainsco Corvette DP. This is, by the way, a very nice-looking car. Sebastian Bourdais was third. His favorite moosehead, Paul Tracy, was 10th.
So much loving.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's sad to see drivers who are, like, so powerful with Penske and
Newman.
Yeah, success.
With Carl Haas.
Yeah, Paul Newman.
It's just stunning.
Yeah.
But this is what time does.
Yeah, but something has to be said for their passion for motor racing, and they keep going.
And you know what? I agree with that attitude. You could either just retire and not debase yourself by driving some of these lower formulas, but in the end, you want to drive because you love it.
Yeah.
So I say bravo to all of them.
You know, I was reading some months ago an interview with an ex-Australian driver. It was either Tim Shenkin or Wern Schufen, who had driven some races in Formula One, and, you know, they'd done other races also. And the question was asked, you know, you had done sports car racing and all these things, and then you did Formula One. Why did you not go back? He says, oh, no, you know, once you drive in Formula One, anything else is like going from a CEO office to being a janitor. So he said, once I had driven Formula One, I did not want to do anything. So anyway, now a word about the sponsor, Salins. They are premium quality since 1869, and I am very pleased to report straight from their webpage, they are the official hot dog of the Buffalo Bills. And since they are so good, you just can't eat one, they are also the official hot dog of Buffalo Bisons. I think we need a track in Casper, Wyoming.
Okay, the Buffalo Bisons, is that some kind of sports team?
Yeah, I didn't click on that logo. I'm sure it is. It's on the website.
Okay, I just want to be sure that the Bisons aren't eating the hot dogs.
No, I'm not making this up.
Okay, of course
like
not.
I said, we bring...
This is all fresh. Serious fact.
Yeah, you can go on the website of salins.com and find out.
And I noticed, like, the big 12-pack of Salins hot dogs in your fridge.
Oh, really?
Yeah, very impressive, Nasser. Wow. I know you always go for the top quality.
Oh, absolutely. What was the thing that people were talking about? Some sort of patties that were also on sale at, like, not Target or Walmart.
Patties?
Beef patties are very, very greasy. It was a topic of discussion on F1 Weekly forum.
I'm sorry, but it's eluded my memory.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
But if it comes back, I will interrupt.
Yeah. Okay, now, talking of beef patties and hot dogs, next we cover...
Le NASCAR.
Thank you, sir. The boys were running a Saturday night fever in Kentucky. Race winner was Brad Keselowski from Michigan, driving for another Michigan resident, Mr. Roger Penske. Casey Kane from Washington State was second, and Denny Hamlin from Virginia is for lovers was third. And he is getting another multi-year TLC from FedEx. They will continue to support him at Joe Gibbs Racing, which is good. Joey Logano may be shown the door for the Home Depot-sponsored car. Rumor is that Matt Kenseth, I'm sure you know who Matt Kenseth is, he is going to the Gibbs team. Let's see what happens. Monty was 14th, and your favorite, Greg Biffle, a solid 21st.
Well, I have to admit, though, we haven't heard very much from Juan Pablo Montoya. Hasn't been in the news very much, Nasser. Is that good? I mean, ever since he hit the jet cleaner.
The rocket fuel. I thought that would put his career in orbit.
But it has, because he's never in the limelight anymore. Nothing. Not even spoken about, really.
Yeah, talking of Montoya, I was reading an old F1 Racing magazine when he was with Williams, and they're asking him about his time in Formula One, and oh boy, how excited, how devoted, and how his life passion was to be in Formula One. And now he would rather be in Martinsville than Monte Carlo.
It's the Salins hot dogs.
Exactly.
It's, you know, it just pulls you in.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, in other news, this was kind of a surprise, especially because they are so successful these days. Chevrolet is bailing out of World Touring Car Championship after this season is over. The 2013 season will see the arrival of Honda and possibly another manufacturer or two. Volkswagen VW has confirmed only two Polos will be entered in the 2013 World Rally Championship. Sébastien Ogier will be one of the drivers, and for the second seat, drivers wanted, apply at Volkswagen Motorsport.
I thought that was big news about Chevrolet pulling out.
Yeah, because they have won so many races.
Exactly. A lot of success.
Yeah. And those cars are very nice looking cars.
I agree.
The Chevy Cruze and the blue, light blue colors. And they are very good drivers.
That's why I drive a Chevrolet.
Yeah, I know. Now we have a goodie bag from jolly old Silverstone. A look at some of the winners at the birthplace of Formula One motor racing. Fabulous facility. You know, Mr. Brazier and I were there when the GP3 people were testing. We went to different parts of the track. It's just very, very nice.
A lot of history.
Si, senor. Okay, the 2012 British Grand Prix will be race number 45 at Silverstone. As we all know by now, the very first F1 race took place here in 1950, and I think Monza is the only track that has held all the Italian Grand Prix except for 1980, when it went to Imola, and then of course Monte Carlo. It can't go anywhere, but it has not been held every year. There were 3 or 4 years that they did not have the race there. So these, you know, Monaco, Monza, Silverstone, super machismo. Ferrari's first F1 victory came here in 1951 with Pampas Bull, Signor Jose Fraulein Gonzalez, at the wheel. Jim Clark won 3 successive Grand Prix at Silverstone, 1963, 65, 67. He also won the 1964 British Grand Prix, which was held at Brands Hatch. Peter Revson was the winner at Silverstone in 1973 for McLaren in a close finish over Ronnie Peterson. Revson remains to this day the only American to win the British Grand Prix, and he also remains the only American ever to win the Monaco F3 race, which is very, very impressive. And that was another reason I was hoping for Alexander Rossi to win in World Series, but I don't know, it would be nice to have another driver from the other side of the pond. Okay, the 1975 Silverstone race saw the final Grand Prix win for Emerson Fittipaldi in his McLaren. 1977, debut in F1 for turbo power courtesy of Renault and Monsieur Jean-Pierre Jabouille. Also making their first F1 appearance, two French-speaking drivers who became good friends, Patrick Tombay and Gilles Villeneuve. 1979, Frank Williams became a Grand Prix winner for the first time thanks to Clay Regazzoni, and that was the opening segment we played at the start of Mondial. Next, R. Nige made his dramatic move, touching wheels with teammate Piquet at full speed to win the race in 1987. That was an incredible, incredible gutsy move and gutsy race. 1995, local boy wins his first Grand Prix on home soil in the Benetton, thanks to Damon Hill crashing into... That day, Damon Hill pulled out Pastor Maldonado, and the winner, of course, was Johnny Herbert. Alain Prost is the most successful GP winner at Silverstone with 5 victories. Schumacher, Mansell, and when I say Schumacher, I mean Michael Schumacher.
Of course.
Mansell and Clark, each won 3 times here. Ferrari is the leading team with 13 victories, 1 more than McLaren. And last year, to make you happy, on the 60th anniversary of their first F1 win, Nando delivers their only F1 victory of the season for Ferrari. And this was done after doing a demo run in Fraulein Gonzalez's winning machine from 1951. That was just very, very impressive. And with that, we say arrivederci Roma, Modena, and F1 Weekly Familia.
You have to admit, Nando brings in the win when it's really important.
And when you thought it will never happen.
Exactly.
That is, and he is, for sure, we've said this before many times.
We have.
He have le complete package.
That's true.
Yeah, but the complete package needs some TLC.
Yeah.
This is not a package. This is like, you know, one of those beautiful plants that give beautiful flowers, but you have to keep them away from the sun for most of the time. Just give them enough water. You do not want murky waters and some teammate lurking in murky waters coming and saying, look, I've never raced in a Formula One before, but let me see what I can do.
Well, what's really impressive is the kind of pressure that his cojones give to the Ferrari team in terms of bringing in those updates to get the car up to what he deserves.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you have people like him, Schumacher, Senna, you know, Niki Lauda's of the world, you know, like Niki Lauda used to say, when I go to a racetrack, I'm not here to play golf or tennis or make jokes. So they are here for a specific, and he spends a lot of time just like Schumacher.
Yeah.
So not surprised. But what is surprising, that with all the packages available, the car that's a truck is leading the championship. That is muy impresivo.
Absolutely. Now, before we say goodnight, any predictions for Silverstone?
Well, you know, if it's going to be a lot of rain, which is what they are saying, then I think it will be not a Pirelli lottery. It will be a precipitation lottery. So I don't know what will happen there. But if it's like a normal race thing, then I think it's going to be a fantastic battle between Sebastian Vettel, Lewis Hamilton, and Nando somehow will be in the picture. And frankly, I won't be surprised if he wins the race again.
Okay. And Pastor Maldonado, what does he do on the last lap? The bets are coming in.
Well, Pastor Maldonado, if he is within second and a half behind somebody, then somebody is going to be a DNF. You know, if he's on the last lap, if he's 3 seconds behind, then the guy ahead is, you know, is okay.
That really makes drivers nervous, knowing that Pastor is back there on that final lap.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you, in that when Gilles Villeneuve first came into Formula One, I think it was the Japanese race where he had collided with Peterson and several people were killed. I'm not sure if it was before or after this race. There was a comment from Ronnie Peterson that, you know, I get goosebumps when I see Gilles Villeneuve in a rear view mirror. So some people just develop that sort of a reputation that they will have some fender bender kind of situation. But, you know, it's good for Pastor, good for William, for him to finish races.
Yeah, and we didn't even talk about Bruno Senna, really.
Yeah, Bruno Senna, you know, it's like this, very simple, you know. Mark Webber is not going to beat, I think, Sebastian Vettel to win the championship. He's capable of winning, but I just don't see it happening. Bruno Senna, if you cannot even beat as nice as he is as a person, but as a race car driver, if you cannot rattle the cage of Pastor Maldonado, what are you going to do against Hamilton or Nando? It's just, you know, this is how you, you know, look at it. And, you know, this thing about Heikki Kovalainen, oh, I'm at McLaren, this is Lewis's team. Wow. Button had no problem rattling his cage first 2 years. And, yeah, he still, you know, may come back and win some races. So it's very hard to win against a top-line driver.
Thanks, Nas, for another outstanding Motorsports from All in the Aisle. We're just going to go ahead and wrap it up. If you'd like to advertise across with our website or podcast, just email moi at info@f1weekly.com. I want to thank everyone who listens. Good night.
Bye now.